Hallelujah. Today's scripture reading that we have two places is Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 to 14, and second one is Luke chapter 13, verse 22 to 30. Today's title is The Narrow Gate That Leads to Life. The Narrow Gate That Leads to Life. I'd like to read Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 to 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Second one is Luke chapter 13, verse 22 to 30. And he was passing through from one city and village to another, teaching and proceeding on his way to Jerusalem. And someone said to him, Lord, are there just a few who are being saved? And he said to them, strive to enter by the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Once that head of the house get up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock on the door, saying, Lord, open up to us. Then he will answer and say to you, I do not know where you are from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our street. And he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoer. There will be a weeping and gnashing of teeth there when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but yourselves being cast out. And they will come from east and west and from north and south, and will recline at the table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. This is the word of God. Hallelujah. Today is a General Assembly Sunday, or those days, days when all the churches under the General Assembly of the Hopton denomination to which our church belong, unite in worship, people God, and pray for the growth and the advancement of our denominations. As we observe General Assembly Sunday 2026, I would like to share a message of God's grace under the title, The Narrow Gate That Leads to Life. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 is contained the famous Sermon on the Mount. Jesus' message here is filled with profound teachings, even though the words themselves are neither complex nor burdensome. The passage we are looking at today represents the final sections, the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount. At its core, this section addresses how we should respond to the truths Jesus expounded throughout the sermons. The narrow gate and the narrow ways mentioned in the Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 to 14 serve as two key symbols representing the Christian journey. While interconnected, they play distinct roles in a spiritual sense. A gate symbolizes the entrance into space, whereas a way symbolizes the journey or process that leads to the destinations after passing through that gate. Therefore, the narrow gate symbolizes the beginning of salvation, a moment of repentance and decision, while the narrow way symbolizes the process and the sanctification and the life of a disciple. If the narrow gate is a matter of entry, asking, whom shall I follow? then the narrow way is a matter of our work with God, asking, how shall I live? The Bible emphasizes that the path to salvation does not end simply with passing through the gate. It is a journey that requires walking the narrow way to the very end. The command to enter through the narrow gate carries a profound significance within the religious and social context of the Jew at that time. Many Jews believed that their ethnic privileges and status as God's chosen people guaranteed their salvation. Yet Jesus challenges this assumption, warning that the narrow gate would not remain open forever. He called his listeners to a sense of urgency and decisive commitment, reminding them that those who are the last may become first. For the Jew, the narrow gate represents a call to abandon legalistic formalism and self-righteousness and instead to embark on the difficult yet life-giving path of faith in Jesus Christ and discipleship. Today, I would like us to reflect together on the narrow gate and the narrow path that lead us all to life. Amen. The point one, few people seek the narrow gate. Few people seek the narrow gate. Jesus first commanded us to enter through the narrow gate and then described the path that unfolds once we have passed through it. A gate serves as a boundary that separates inside from outside. Passing through the narrow gate refers to the decisive moment of conversion, when we move from the belonging into the world to belonging to the kingdom of God, namely the act of repentance and receiving Jesus Christ. This marks the beginning of the journey. Having passed through the gate and entered the kingdom of God, one must now continue walking toward the destination, eternal life. This process is the narrow path. In other words, it signifies the life journey of a Christian who denies themselves daily and strives to become more like the God. Those who walk the narrow path are few in number and may appear solitary, as if isolated from others. While the broad road is comfortable with many people traveling it and allows for self-indulgence, the narrow path is difficult and less traveled. It imposes restriction and limit for its self-indulgence and lacks popularity. Yet disciples are those who discover this narrow gate and joyfully choose to walk the narrow road. We can see how the Bible describes those who follow the Lord call, "Follow me," as his disciples. It is recorded that Peter and Andrew immediately left their net to follow the Lord. You can see the Matthew chapter 4 verse 20. And that John and James immediately left the boat and their father to follow him. You can find it in Matthew chapter 4 verse 22. The Gospel of Luke specifically records that Peter left everything to follow Jesus. You can find it though. Luke chapter 5, verse 11. Matthew, the tax collector, too, was working at the customs booth in Capernaum when the Lord called him, saying, "Follow me." He left everything behind, rose up, and followed the Lord. You can find at the Luke chapter 5, verse 26. The repeated emphasis on leaving behind, whether nest, boat, father, or everything else, demonstrate that these men become disciples who follow the Lord, entering through the narrow gate and walking the narrow, constricted path. During the spring seasons, the salmon swim upstream against the current to lay their egg in the sandy riverbed before dying. Likewise, those who would boldly fulfill the role of light and soul in this world, swimming against the mighty surging tide of darkness, require the encouragement to swim upstream just like the salmon. However, the problem is that there are not many who possess such insight and courage. The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah due to the lack of even 10 righteous peoples, you can find at the Genesis chapter 18, verse 32, clearly illustrate this truth. Amen. Yet, even though those who serve as the light and soul of the world may be few, there is no need for fear or anxiety. This is because God is the one who accomplishes his work through a small but faithful remnant, just as he enabled Gideon's 300 men to defeat the best Midianite army in a single decisive victory, you can find at Judges chapter 7. Therefore, we must not be swayed by the corrupt values of the world or by the pressure of the crowd, but instead stand firmly on God's word. Amen. Even if few choose this path, we must press forward with confidence through the narrow gate, the gate of truth. The point two, the path leading to the narrow gate is narrow and constrict. To be narrow signifies tribulation and oppressions. The word constrict carries the same meaning in this context. The text is, according to the Matthew chapter 7, verse 14, I'd like to read it one more time. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Here, the word of constricted is Greek, is dlibo. This word means to press, confine, oppress, or afflict. Both expressions signify suffering and tribulations. The way of life, the path of Jesus Christ, contains suffering and tribulations. Of course, they are not inflicted by Jesus Christ himself, but by the world. The world imposed them to prevent us from working this path. To walk this path, one must be prepared for suffering and tribulations. To gain life and to draw near to Jesus Christ, one must be willing to accept and endure such suffering and tribulations. The Apostle Paul was prepared for exactly that, according to the Acts chapter 20, verse 24, "But I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, in order that I may finish my course and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify the solemnity of the gospel of the grace of God." He confessed another confession is right there from the Acts chapter 21, verse 13. "Then Paul answered, 'What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but even to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus.'" By following the path of life, we receive the strength and the powers to overcome even tribulation. Amen. Although we may face tribulation because this is the path of life, we can conquer it. We can endure it. Because we hold fast to life, we may be shaken by tribulation and suffering, but we will not stumble or fall away. When people live as they please, life may seem comfortable. But when they are placed under the limit and the restriction, it becomes difficult and burdensome. The defined characteristic of the broad road is that it is wide. Furthermore, it is flat. An easy road paved like asphalt. There is plenty of room. There are no rough patches, nor are there steep hill to climb or descend. Traveling the broad road requires no difficult sacrifice or pain. There is nothing to give up for God and no burden to bear for others. It is paths where one simply focuses on oneself and moves forward. However, the defining characteristic of this narrow path is that it is indeed narrow. It is constricted and rugged. There is a gravel, so one might occasionally slip and fall. The slopes are steep, too. You may find yourself is gasping for breath on the ascent and suffering knees pain on the descent. Therefore, this narrow path is by no means a comfortable one. You must overcome trials and temptation and battle against the world and the devil. If you neglect prayer, the devil will attack. Evil spirit and the world will tempt you. It is a path that demands sacrifice and efforts for the sake of God and others. Jesus himself repeatedly stated that the path of following him is difficult, a path that entails the sacrifice and suffering. According to the Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone wish to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." It's recorded and according to the John chapter 16, 33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." Right? The way of believing in and following Jesus includes at times tribulation, hardship, and taking up one's cross. Therefore, even when difficulties arise in the life of faith, we must remember that this is the very nature of the path we have chosen to walk. The Apostle Paul also spoke of the great hardship involved in entering the kingdom of heaven. According to the Acts chapter 14, verse 22, "Strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through many tribulations we must enter the kingdom of God." Amen. We are people who believe in Jesus and are bound for heavens. Yet the journey to heaven, the path of serving the Lord, is filled with the difficulties, the tribulation, and the hardship. Luke chapter 13:24 is a parallel passage to Matthew 7:13-14. I'd like to read one more time. It is according to the Matthew chapter 7:13-14. "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. I'd like to read the Luke chapter 13, verse 24. Strive to enter by the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Luke chapter 13, verse 24, is stated, strive to enter through the narrow door. The word translated here as strive is the agonizomai, the Hebrew, the Greek, agonizomai, the most fundamental meaning of which is to struggle. It signifies engaging in a truly fierce battle. Literally, it means to fight for a prize. Symbolically, it means to fight against an enemy. It refers to the solitary struggle of an athlete who pours out every ounce of energy to win a competition. Salvation is a free gift of grace, yet the life of the saved is intense. This does not imply that we must earn our salvation through our own strengths. Rather, it means that as those who have received the grace of salvation, we must engage in a holy struggle, rejecting the wide path of the world that tempts us and choosing instead the values of the kingdom of God. Amen. The narrow door represents the holy effort required to live a life worthy of the gospel. The Lord referred to himself as the gate for the sheep. He is the one and only gate of salvation through which the sheep may enter. He declared, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You can find it at John chapter 14, verse 6. Yeah, that gate is a narrow one, although it stands open to all, serving as the gate of life through which anyone who believes in Jesus may escape destruction and gain eternal life. It remains a narrow gate. There are few who find it. Therefore, a life dedicated to striving to enter through the narrow door should be viewed as another expression of faith. To say that one has received salvation by believing in Jesus is, in other words, to describe a life of striving to enter through the narrow door. Furthermore, the command to strive to enter through the narrow door is expressed in the present imperative tense. The use of the present imperative signifies that this is a life we must be living right now, a life of actively striving to enter through the narrow door. Specifically, the word strive is a technical term used in athlete competitions, signifying the effort one makes to win a prize in a sporting event. Furthermore, the Lord speaks in the future tense, stating many will seek to enter, but will not be able. This implies that to enter the gate of salvation, one must choose the narrow path now. Those who postpone entering the gate of salvation until some future time will never be able to enter, even in the future. Thus, when read in context, the meaning becomes only those who strive now to enter through the narrow gate are the people worthy of salvation in the future. Amen. Point 3. The narrow gate ultimately leads us to life. The reason Jesus speaks of the narrow gate as leading to life is not simply because the way is difficult, but because of the destination it leads to and the value it represents. The word wide gate is a path taken by the masses, a comfortable road where the people living according to their own desire and instincts. In contrast, the narrow gate signifies a choice to see God's will rather than one's own. The wide path permits indulgence and compromise, yet its end ultimately leads to extinction and ruin. The narrow path keeps us spiritually alert, protects us from sin, and leads us to God, the very source of life. In John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." What may seem like an exclusive and singular claim ultimately becomes the only path that leads not to death but to enter life. Ultimately, the reason the narrow gate leads to life is that it is the only honest and true passage leading to God, the source of life. The arduous journey itself is not the objective, rather it is the true value found at the end of that path that brings us life. I bring this to a conclusion. Given as the conclusion to the Sermon of the Mount, this word from the Lord is called to demonstrate that you are a true disciple of Christ by entering through the narrow gate and walking the narrow path. The Lord who said, "Follow me," is God, the one who created the heavens and the earth, and who governs and orchestrates the history of the world. He is the one who possesses all authority in heaven and on earth. You can find that in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. When he says to us, "To follow me," is this not promise that says, "If you follow me, I will take full responsibility for your life"? It is, in fact, a promise that says, "I will walk the narrow and the constrict path alongside you, accompanying you every step of the way until the very end of the ages." For those who believe and understand this, the narrow gate and the narrow path are not source of fear. Rather, they mark the beginning of a magnificent adventure shared with the Lord. Just as the Lord called his disciples in the past, he calls us today through this very word, "Follow me." And he explained that the path of "follow me," though it involves entering through a narrow gate and walking a constrict way that few people seek out, is nonetheless the path that leads to life. The path of the Lord's disciples is indeed a lonely and demanding road that requires leaving all things behind. Yet it is also the most gracious and blessed way, because it is a path where we meet and experience the Lord who is life itself. I pray in the name of the Lord that in every circumstance of your present life, in your home, your workplace, and every place where you live, you may discover the narrow gate and the narrow road that few choose, and walking it is as blessed disciples of Christ. Amen. Let us pray. On this General Assembly Sunday, we give thanks that you have enabled all churches under the assembly scattered across the globe to proclaim the same word of life with one heart, one spirit, and one purpose. In accordance with the message given to us today, we thank you, Father God, for your immense grace in granting us the narrow gate and the narrow path. Although we face many tribulations and hardships as we learn this course to reach the Lord, we give thanks for the blessing that allows us to press forward with joy and gratitude, for we are absolutely certain that this is indeed the path leading to you, Father God. We believe that this is a path upon which the Lord walks alongside us. Even if we stumble or are broken, may all the saints of the world churches worldwide, and all the saints of the First Church draw strength from the assurance that the Lord, who shares in all our tribulations, is with us and press forward vigorously. May we all remain faithful to the very end of the path you have called us to walk. May we receive the crown of righteousness and the crown of life from the Lord, and may we ultimately become one with you, Father God. As we offer up all these prayers and petitions, we pray earnestly in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.